The Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give up its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then the angels will be sent and will gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know the summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Holy One. Beware. Keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at the dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Blessings in the name of the one who was, and the one who is, and the one who is to come. Amen. So growing up, Chris and Eric Olson lived in the house across the street from mine. Chris was 3 years older than me, Eric was 3 years younger than me, and we played together. We played together a lot, a whole lot. And Chris in particular loved trucks. He especially loved semi-trucks. 18-wheelers, and he had more than a fair share of kid rigs, enough to supply all the rest of us when we got together to play. They were maybe 15 inches long, 4 inches high, in all sorts of colors. They were modeled after the ones that we'd see rumbling down the street through the middle of our hometown, and they were modeled probably with some advertising agreement for getting us hooked on this carrier or that carrier. What was best, though? What was the very best was that Chris's bedroom had plaid carpeting. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm describing here. Maybe you still have that carpet. And others are questioning my judgment, and maybe you're questioning my memory from 35 or 40 years ago. But that carpeting, that plaid carpeting, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a dark carpet. It was navy bluish, with these thin lines of red and green and gold weaving back and forth. And what's more, it provided the perfect civil engineering course for driving semi-trucks around the bedroom. With that plaid pattern at our disposal, there were roads, lots of roads, roads everywhere. And each road had a corresponding intersection. That's how plaid is, you know. And intersection after intersection, turn after turn after turn, driving lanes and passing lanes, and still more intersections. The intersection of everything. That's our theme this Advent, the intersection of everything. It's a theme that's honed by our worship planning team, and it's inspired by scripture and artwork and reflections when a bigger group gathered on a Wednesday evening back in October to have a workshop over pizza. So today my goal is to introduce our theme, the intersection of everything. The intersection, the sacred, holy space where the coming of Jesus Christ and earth and heaven intersect. God and creation, time and space, the worries of this world, what's on our heart today, and the great promise of healing and wholeness intersecting. Life and life eternal, need and plenty, unity and difference, coming from different directions, different perspectives, different planes, different experiences, different dimensions, all over the place. And we're intersecting. We're intersecting. Because that's what the vulnerable, powerful birth of Jesus Christ does. It brings us together. And it brings us together not in agreement about everything, but together intersecting, often with tensions, sometimes with urgency. Intersecting, because in that space, in that intersection, God is born. That's where God meets us, and God claims us for love, transforming, world-changing love. This amazing painting by Phil Thompson is called Madonna and Christ Child in the City. Phil and his spouse Joy are longtime members of our congregation. Phil is a retired art professor from Augsburg College. If you look around our building, sometimes you have to look closely. There is a lot of Phil's artistry that graces the walls and the space here. Such a gift. Usually, this painting hangs right here, and the choir and I get a really good view of it every Sunday. But for this season, we want to take a better look at it. We want it to be the visual focus for us, to draw us into the intersections. Next Sunday, during our sermon time, another artist in our congregation, Muffy Abramson, will help us explore this painting more. But for today, take a good look at it. Choir, you might need to turn around. It's okay. Take a look. And I invite you to notice the intersections. And notice the cityscape. Look familiar? I notice the orbs up on the top. They remind me a little of the sun and the moon and the stars in our text today. And of course, notice Mary and Jesus right in the very center, at the intersection of it all. So today's reading from the Gospel of Mark is often called the Little Apocalypse. By next week, we're going to be hearing the beginning of the gospel. But today, on this first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the church year, we start at the end. We start right before Jesus is crucified. Mark has been telling the story, as gospel writers do, step by step by step. And then Jesus did this, and then he did that. But for this brief set of verses that we hear today, Mark changes his pace like a narrator kind of looking up, oh, my goodness, there's this whole community sitting right around me, and realizing that maybe this audience that he's writing to needs to hear a particular thing in that time. So keep awake, Mark has Jesus say, seemingly right to Mark's very own community. Remember, this is 40 years after Jesus has already died. And for that community that Mark was writing to, for that community, they're in crisis. The temple has been destroyed. It's a catastrophe. The temple was their intersection. It was the center of their religious and political and economic life. It was the very heart of everything for them. And over this period of years, the Romans had come and they destroyed it, and they threatened the very existence of the Jewish community. And their world is shaken by suffering and by death, and their people have been whittled away. It was shaken so much that these predictions that we heard about today, maybe they sound a little bit like endings to us, but for them, they may have sounded like hope. Like new beginnings, something new, something so desperately needed when everything is that critical, we can see beginning again. So keep awake, for God's love is so powerful that the heavens will be torn open and the sun will return. Keep awake, the second coming, like the birth of Jesus, is an intersection. It's a sacred, holy space where we are told that we will meet God again. So hold on to that piece from Mark. And for a moment, I want to turn to another intersection That's also part of our Advent season theme. And it's the intersection that we hear about in the very first chapter of Luke. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, she's this young woman, maybe 13, maybe 15 years old, very young, and she's a peasant, and she's unexpected in every possible way. Greetings, favored one, Gabriel whispers and explains all that's going to happen. Do you remember how Mary responds when the angel approaches her? She says, "Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be with me." And then she echoes Hannah. Remember that Hannah is the prophet Samuel's mom so many years before with the words of the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God, you've looked with favor on your lowly servant. They'll call me blessed for every generation. The hungry will be filled. The lowly will be lifted up. The proud will be scattered. Mary and her bold, brave Magnificat are before us this season. Preacher Nadia Bowles Weber says it this way: Mary had some real chops. She heard outrageous things from an angel and said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Maybe the real outrageous act of faith on Mary's part was trust that she had found favor with God. Nadia goes on, "We want to think that if we live a certain way, we can make ourselves worthy of God. But what if God's word is so much more powerful than our ability to become worthy of God?" Maybe that's the vital, overlooked miracle of the Annunciation story, that she believes it, that she believes that she is favored. That, dear ones, is an intersection for us to ponder this season. So my hope for this first Sunday of Advent is to get us noodling about intersections, the intersection of everything. So think with me just for a moment. What in your life is intersecting? And how is that? And where is God meeting you again? Or where do you pray that God would meet you? And what are you avoiding or ignoring? What intersection is frightening you in this time? Advent is this perfect season to stay alert, to stay awake, to where God is showing up in all of these desperately needed new beginnings. It's a time in all the hubbub and demands to live counterculturally and to breathe and to pause and to make a holy, sacred space to listen again. And maybe that's using an Advent devotion. Maybe it's lighting the Advent candles. Maybe it's meditating on a line from a Christmas carol. Maybe it's coming to Wednesday evening Holden prayer right here in this very space. Maybe it's taking home your bulletin and spending some time with the poetry or the artwork or the scripture. These intersections and all the rest that you're going to begin to notice in these days, this is where God meets us with hope and with new beginnings and with trust anew. God will find you, and that's a promise. God will find us, and God will be born in you and in us at the intersection of everything. So before I close today, let me lift up one final intersection, and that's the intersection between life and life eternal. As a congregation, we've been trying to be more mindful of marking the passings when those in our community have died, a way of seeing the arc between the baptismal font and the waters of baptism and this unshakable love of Christ Jesus that holds us in our dying and in our living and our living eternally. So today, we're remembering especially Margaret Vanoskis. She's a longtime member of Hope, and she died on Tuesday. Margaret raised her kids, Kathy and Cheryl, Jim and Jerry, in southeast Minneapolis, 17th and Como. To this day, this family, the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids and the great-great-grandkids, they make that space at 17th and Como their hub. Margaret cares. That's what she was about. She was a person who cared a lot. She cared for children. She cared for elders. She cared for cats. She cared for her family and her church. And even while she lived with tremendous pain over many years, she was the glue, she was the hub, the intersection, if you will, always welcoming, always connecting people. And now Margaret is at rest in God's eternal peace. When we live to the Lord, and when we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. In that spirit, would you join me in a moment of prayer? Holy God, holy and powerful, we remember before you today our sister Margaret. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. At these waters of baptism, you welcomed her into your love. At these waters, you comforted her in times of trouble and encouraged her in delight. At these waters, you now enfold her into Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of life everlasting. Console us who mourn and bring us together with all the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.